We don't have time for this.
We'd like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land where we make this podcast, the Garigal and the Gadigal people. We pay our respects to all First Nation elders, past, present, and emerging.
Guys, it's afternoon and we have the giggles.
We're in a mood.
Okay?
We're in a mood.
Okay.
You know what I don't have time for?
It's not even started yet.
No, I've got a gripe.
What?
Okay.
What's up?
You know what I don't have time for?
What?
Waiters. Who think they're going to win a prize for memorizing your order.
Just write it down.
Write it down.
You're making me nervous.
It feeds into my anxiety. Honestly, I was at a restaurant the other night and you know when everyone has that friend that does the awkward order?
Is it okay if I have this but with none of that in it?
I'm also highly allergic to X. Like, it's like, for fuck's sake. And then this waiter just stood there nodding. Yep, we can do that. And then I like changed my order and then changed her. And then I added a drink and then all of a sudden I was like, you've got that? And they're like, yeah, got it. I was like, do you want to review it? No, I got it. They never got it. They don't got it.
They don't got it.
They say they got it, they
don't. Even if they do got it, pretend. Hold paper and pen and pretend, just to make me feel.
just on imaginary paper.
Just hold your hand up. Hold your hand up. Pinch three fingers together and pretend you're writing my order down.
Do you know what? It would make me feel more secure.
It would at least make me not patronizingly go, you got it. I know. It makes you so nervous because you really think you're not going to get what you asked for.
And then do you know what? When the order inevitably comes out incorrectly, I then have to go, hey, this isn't what we ordered. And then they're like, oh, sorry. And
I'm
like,
pull out there. Flesh pad and write it out again. I know, like, no, it's not impressive.
No.
It's just stressful.
I feel like there is a pedigree of waiters who are like, I got the best memory.
In the very fancy restaurants, they would never write down your order.
No, but I feel secure. Look, we weren't at a fancy restaurant.
Okay.
We're at your basic bitch restaurant. Yeah. And I was like, please just write this shit down.
Don't be a hero. Go grab a jot pad.
Yes, there is no prize for memorizing correctly. I'm not going to give you an extra tip. I'm not going to be like, you fucking nailed that.
It might not be the waiter. It might be their boss being like, we don't take orders down here. We memorize.
Rebs, I looked at other tables. They had pen and pad.
Oh.
Yep. Well, actually, one person had an iPad. I was like, where's your iPad?
That's just too much. That's going too far. Let's start this episode.
We have a thousand things to do, but we'd rather chat to you with emails and meetings and husbands and kids. We don't have time for this. Just what you need. Two basic bitches with a podcast.
Hello and welcome to We Don't Have Time for This. I'm your host, Gemma Pranita, a.k.a. Gemma Pina on the gram, along with my co-host,
Kate Reeves.
Happy Tuesday, everyone.
Happy Tuesday.
Hope you didn't get the Sunday scaries as Monday came rolling around and now we're nearly at hump day. How's everyone doing?
Gem, sometimes we don't need for context, okay? Sometimes it could just be Tuesday.
Okay.
Hope you didn't get the Saturday. Okay, listen, we're in a silly mood. Mm-hmm. We need to put our work hats on and deliver an episode.
I know. Rebsy, it's just because we're nearing the end of April and it's silly season. Like we're 4 months.
No, Gem, that is December.
Okay, fine. It's fall season, okay? I don't know. I'm just feeling like the year is accelerating. Like, how did we get to April? I blinked and I got here and now we're like into the weeds of the year. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I feel silly. I feel like I need to be silly. It's a release.
Okay,
it's a release of pent-up energy.
I'm going to go ahead and say it's got nothing to do with April and everything to do with the Nutella we ate before this record.
Maybe.
Okay.
Maybe.
I have a really funny story.
Oh, well, don't preface it with that.
Just to feed into this giggle bit. Oh, what's wrong? Oh, Gem gets very worried when I overpromise.
Yes. Under promise, over deliver. You should say, I've got a really average story.
Guys, gather round. Have I got a mid story for you?
Go on, hit us with your extremely funny story.
Okay. I'm setting
you up for failure. Okay, continue.
I've got a story.
All right.
It involves Sister Lou, who we all love.
We love Sister Lou.
Okay. So she has a 2-year-old, right? Prime danger nap territory.
Oof, we all know it.
So she picked him up from daycare and her daycare give no fucks that she says no naps because he's transitioning out of a nap. If he has a nap, he will not go to bed till 10 o'clock at night. And she wants to go to bed at 9 o'clock. So it's like, it's fucked, right?
Yeah, it's vital.
They don't care. They give no shit. She turns up to daycare and they go, oh, he had a sleep. And she's like, well, oh, okay. And then she'll go back the next day and go, okay, he really cannot nap today. And they go, if he wants to nap, we can't force him to stay up. And Lou's like, are you talking about my kid? He doesn't need to be forced to stay awake. You just don't offer him a bed and he'll stay awake.
Or like, how about with all the money I'm paying you, you entertain my child, you engage them appropriately in a way that keeps them awake.
Give him an activity.
Correct.
She's like, stick him in front of an iPad. I don't care. Just do not let him go to sleep. Because if he sleeps, even for fun, we all know this age and stage, it's the worst. You're just constantly trying to avoid being in the car or anything that could induce a nap after midday.
We've all blasted the Wiggles on Vol 20.
And turned around because like, hey, hey, hey! You know, like, don't you go to
I've
sleep.
Done that.
Rafa, look out the window.
Oh, look at this.
No. Anyway, that's where she's at. Mm. Anyway, he had a danger nap at daycare. So she had to sit up and she was like, well, I'm not going to parent till 10. So he can sit next to me while I watch my stories. So she's watching her Real Housewives on the couch and he's messing around with her phone because she's like, fine, whatever. We'll go to bed at 10. And next minute, she looks over at her phone.
God.
This is a Friday, okay? A Friday night. He's dropped a pin where they are.
Oh, my God.
And texted it to what is labelled in her phone as hot plumber.
Oh, stop it. Shit.
He dropped a pin at 9:30 at night and sent it to a hot boy.
Okay, so many follow-up questions. Was this just a general plumber who came to do some plumbing work who was hot?
Or did he do some plumbing work, if you know what I'm talking about.
You know what I'm saying?
No, there's no history between them, but he's hot and it's...
So I'm just putting myself in the plumber's position.
Imagine the vibes between two people if they're saved in your phone as hot anything. Mm-hmm. You know, there's vibe there. Maybe there's been a bit of flirtatious back and forth.
One would hope.
Anyway, Lou said she wasn't even mad. And Max was like, what? Mummy, what? Mummy, sorry. Because she was laughing so hard. She was on the floor laughing at, like, of all the people he could have dropped a pin and sent to at 9:30 on a Friday. Like, it had to be this guy, you know?
Oh, my God. What would you do?
I was like, did you immediately text and go, sorry, that was my kid?
Well?
No, she didn't. She just left it.
Left him hanging.
I was like, were you waiting to see if he was like, I'm on my way?
I would. I'd be waiting for those three dots.
Just going to get my kid into bed. It reminded me of my friend. She had a terrible sleeper and her kid was often in her bed. You know how you sort of doze in and out of your own sleep when they, you know. If one day her son FaceTimed her boss at 4 a.m.
Hell.
And she was lying there asleep with her head on the pillow all like you know, zombie. Yeah. And she hears this, hello.
Oh, fuck.
And she rolls over and she's like in the camera and her son's like, oh, turns the phone to her and she's like in the camera like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry.
Oh, my God. I can't believe he answered.
I know.
Like, why would you answer if a colleague called you at 4 a.m.?
My boss called me at 4 a.m. from one of my jobs. I know.
And did you answer?
No, but I was like, I could straight up take this to HR.
Okay, calm down.
No, it's not appropriate.
Honest mistake.
He doesn't have kids.
He might have a hot date who rolled over and her butt dialed you.
Come on.
I don't know.
I did answer. It was a kick on. I could hear it in the background.
Oh, my God. How funny is it?
Because I was like, has something gone on with the website? Oh, my God. What's happened?
Okay. This is a part of my personality I have to reveal. Whenever anyone butt dials me, you work it out in the first 10 seconds. You're like, hello, hello. And then you hear them talk. I hang about. I do. I hang about. I lean in. I'm like,
I just love how you said that. Like, it's the most scandalous thing anyone could say. I hang about.
I'm so.
Don't butt down me. I might accidentally hear something you don't want me to hear.
I'm so G-rated, aren't I? Can't help it.
Guys, you know what's crazy about me? When someone butt dials me, I listen in. And what do you hear, Jem? The inside of their pocket?
I want the tea.
She wants the tea so bad. Her life is so fine.
And there's never tea.
There's never tea. It's a pocket rustle. How long do you give it before you give up on the tea?
I don't know. I'm as committed as, you know, someone who's searching for gold on a beach.
with one of those metal detectors.
So quite committed?
Yes. But you know what's awkward?
Oh, no. I know exactly where this episode is going.
But you know what's awkward?
What?
Is when you've hung about...
And then they see you're there.
And it's been like 11 minutes. Jem can't talk.
She can't breathe.
And then they're like, Jem.
Jem?
And I'm like,
how long have you been? Oh, then you hang up.
Then you hang up.
Oh, she's my most awkward friend. Can't take her anywhere.
But you love me anyway.
Oh, my God. I love that. I do love a story where someone's accidentally dropped the tea on a butt dial. Or for another friend of mine's watch scribed down her bitching about her mother-in-law and sent it to her.
Oh, I've been in a situation where I look down at my phone and Siri is scribing something that I'm saying in just a text.
Taking notes.
I find it so stressful.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't call upon Siri.
Why is she here? I've never once called upon her.
I don't have that relationship with Siri. I'm an Alexa girl. So sometimes I'm like, why are you piping up, Siri?
She's jealous.
She is.
She wants to hear the tea on Alexa.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, hey, Google's the crown
jewel. Stop. We've now set up everyone's device. Every single person's device. Oh, my God. Anyway. Do you know what I don't have time for?
What don't you have time for?
Me being scammed by life this month.
Oh, babe. Have you been hard done by?
No, not actually scammed, but two major things have happened where I was like, Revs, for fuck's sake, pull it together.
Go on, spill the tea.
She's so thirsty for tea. So it was my boyfriend's birthday.
Cute.
Took him out for dinner. Mm-hmm. It was quite a beautiful restaurant. Like, it's his favorite restaurant. Also one of my faves.
Name and shame.
No. It's a fancy restaurant, okay? Now, as we've...
Can't it be you're not spun?
No, because I'm about to tell a story about it.
All right.
As aforementioned on this podcast, going out is a massive treat these days, right? Because everything's expensive. It costs a lot to eat out. But it was like, it's your birthday. We're going to party like it's your birthday. We're going to drink Bacardi like it's your birthday. So I'm paying, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we go and the waiter comes over.
Oh, my God, that's so vintage. I just realized, of course, you don't have combined finances. So sorry to segue here, but like, that's interesting.
Like, your face. Wow, that's so vintage.
Oh, dear.
We don't have combined finances, no. It's quite hot because we can do things like pay for each other's dinner on their birthday. Anyway, so the sommelier came over and she was, what? What now? Are you laughing at sommelier?
It just sounds like you said sommelier, you fancy bitch. Continue. Now try and say it. The sommelier.
So the sommelier comes over and she's like, okay, Gemma, rein it in.
Sorry.
She's like, would you like to start with a drink? And I was like, oh, yes, please. And she's like, are you feeling like a glass of champagne? You know, I was like, yes, I am. And she rattles off all the things. She goes, well, we've got the, and she had a very thick French accent. And she rattles off a bunch of champagnes. And then she finishes it with, or we have the glug butter glug. And I was like, sorry. She goes, we have the something, which I couldn't understand, by the glass. And I was like, oh, yeah, 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 just by the glass, just a glass. So that's what I did, okay? Mm-hmm. So I didn't hear her properly and I could have asked for more clarification, but by that point I'd already asked twice to cut through her thick accent and I couldn't ask a third time. But I said, yes, yes, by the glass. She went, lovely. Then comes over my glass of champagne. It was very nice, Jem.
Well, she likes the bubbles.
And I do love champagne. Mm-hmm. And I do know my champagnes generally. Well, turns out I don't know Krug because that's what I'd ordered.
Pray tell.
$85 a glass.
Ah, a glass?
Just dislodged your trachea. Yeah, and a glass.
One will presume you ordered two.
I had two.
Fuck me.
I had two. Ouch. And I almost had a third, actually. And I was like, no, because my partner doesn't drink, so I don't, like, drink a lot when we go out. Mm-hmm. But I had two glasses of champagne. They came by at another point, went, another glass? I was like, yes, please. And, like, same again. I said, yes, please. Oh, like, fuck. A fucking chump. The bill comes. And I was expecting around 300 because this is that kind of place.
Okay, for the non-drinking numpties,
yes.
I.e. me,
yeah.
What is the average price for an average glass of champagne?
In Sydney, in a nice restaurant, mm-hmm. $16 to $20.
Oh, okay. So a real
it's
leap.
It's high.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, but a real leap.
It's not 85.
No.
I mean, yeah. It's stupid. They don't even fill it up, you know?
So how much is a Krug bottle?
Like $400.
Oof.
Yeah. Anyway, so the bill comes and it was like $460 or
Question.
Something. Yes. Did Americano look at the bill with you?
No, I just took it. Mm-mm. But he saw my face and he's like, what? I was like, nothing. Oh, God. He's like, what? I'm like, oh, I've done something. And he goes, just say something. And I was like, oh, no, I can't. I don't want to be, you know, I did order it and all that kind of thing. And then I was like, and the waiter came over, he's like, is there a problem?
Oh,
and I was like, I'm going to level with you. I didn't mean to order this champagne. He said, you didn't order it. And I was like, no, I didn't, because I didn't want to get anyone in trouble.
But now you're going to sound like a real twat. I definitely did order it.
But I didn't know what I was ordering because she didn't give me prices.
Do you know what this reminds me of? Like hairdressers, when they're like, would you like a treatment?
Yeah.
And you're like, yes. And then the treatment's like
$120.
Yes. And you're like, oh.
Oh, I didn't know. That. Yes. So anyway, I said, no, well, this is what happened. And I tried to do what I just did before. I was like, she ran me through the options. And then she said, or there's by the glass. And I just said, by the glass. And he's like, oh, well, it does come by the glass. I'm like, is it the only thing that comes by the glass? And he's like, no. And I was like, I've misunderstood. I said, listen. And he goes, leave it with me. And he went and he came back. My boyfriend, it's his birthday, is like, is everything all right? I'm like, it's fine. Don't worry about it. It's fine. It's just like half my mortgage. It's fine. And he comes back and he's like, so I've spoken to the sommelier and apparently she ran you through all the options. And I was like, yep. If I'd known it was $85 a glass, I just wouldn't have ordered it. He's like, but you did though, didn't you? And I was like, yeah. Yeah. And then I was like, I'm in this tussle now where I kind of want to stand my ground, but I also don't want to make a scene because it's a birthday. And I did do the wrong thing, I guess, you know.
So did you just wear it?
I just said, is there anything you can do to help me out? Is what I said. And he went, leave it with me. And then he came back and goes, how about I just run it through at Verve prices? So $35 a glass. And I was like, you know what? I really appreciate it. And I left a tip.
That's a huge improvement.
It's a saving. I'm making money.
Well, two glasses is less than one.
I know.
That's an enormous saving.
I felt like such a numpty. And then I was like recounting this story to my dad and he's like, was it Krug or something? And I was like, it was Krug.
Everyone knows but me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of you.
For speaking up.
Don't ask, don't get. You know? Like you spoke up and you were honest. Like imagine if they've seen this before. They're like, oh, here we go.
People pretending they didn't order the Krug. Maybe she should have written it down.
But old you.
Yeah, would have just paid it.
Would have just gone, no worries, sucked it up and just paid it and then would have cried about it later.
Yes.
And you know, you leveled with the guy.
Yeah. I was like, can you help me out? And
he definitely would have talked about you to the back room.
This bitch.
Mm-hmm. You won't believe what this bitch is doing. Keep your eyes out for those bitches.
Yeah. Anyway, second part to the story, same month, another scam from the universe.
Gosh. What's going on? Is Mercury in retrograde? What's happening?
Isn't it always? I feel like
in your world, it seems to be.
So KFC has been staying with me and we love a secondhand thrift shop.
Mm-hmm.
We were thrifting. We were in this store, vintage store, going through all the rails. And I pulled out this dress and I was like, oh my God, what is this? It was like this like sexy gold velvet dress with a zip and a slit up the back. And it had these like cutouts on the sides, but it was like, it felt very 80s, 90s. Mm. And she knows her fashion, right? She knows her shit. She's like, this looks very 90s. You've got to try this on. I try it on. We're like absolutely frothing over it. We're like, this is so cool. She tries it on. Looks great on her. I was like, okay, I've got to get it. And then I'll decide later if I'm keeping it or if you can have it if I don't want it. She's like, get it. I was like, it's only $40. And this was like a good secondhand store.
Nice.
So I was like, oh, and we're like, what do you think it is? Is it like Versace? Because she's like, could be Gucci. Like it's definitely got that vintage feel. $40. We get it home. Lay everything out in the bed that we bought. Go through it all. Turn the bottom of the dress inside out. Fucking Shein.
No.
$40, which is like the most expensive thing you could find on Shein.
DLs, if you've never shopped on Shein, like you could literally buy a dress for $6.
Yeah, it's very bad. Fast fashion, direct from China, bad labor laws, bad.
$40
I paid for Shein.
And a
secondhand Shein.
Not even firsthand. That's brutal.
So bad. And this was a consignment place as well. So they must have got a call from the shop and they'd be like, hey, we sold some of your items. You sold this one. They must have gone, fucking what?
I paid $6 for that dress.
I'm in profit.
Oh. Okay. And did it immediately change your perceived value of the dress?
I hate that fucking dress now. Burn it to the ground.
And then were you like, actually, this velvet feels quite cheap and nasty?
It's like, well, you know what? Now I look at it. It's not Versace. No, I was seriously like, I don't like like it anymore. I'm like, this is trash.
Oh, it's such an interesting perspective, I know, isn't it?
Bias psychology.
Like, yes, it makes you zoom out and go, oh, if someone told me it was Versace, instantly I put it on a pedestal and that I've scored a bargain and the math is mathed in my favor and all that. No, it's shin.
Shin. Very bad. I mean, I think we're all kidding ourselves if we think most of the things we buy don't come from a similar origin. Mm-hmm. I know not everything. I know there are good ethical ways to shop and circular economies and all these things. And I did do this thing with a very high-pitched voice. Well, you know, I've saved it from landfill, haven't I? You know, this could have just been thrown away and I've given it a second life.
She says she hates the dress now.
I hate it. Hate it, can't wear it.
No, you can't wear it because everyone's going to ask you, hey,
is this from Shim?
No, people will DM you being like, hey, I love that dress. Where's it from?
And I won't be able to say.
Yeah, because you'll be embarrassed.
I'll be embarrassed. Anyway, that's the two occasions I've been a bloody numpty and I've been scammed by the universe, Gem. Not cool.
Can I ask, on the theme of Shein, I believe it's pronounced Shein.
Sheen? Shine?
No, Shein.
Shein.
Have you ever shopped on Temu?
No, you can't.
What do you mean?
It's a data mine, isn't it?
Is it?
I mean, it's fucking everywhere. Like, you can't put anything into Google without
this
it coming
up.
This
is my problem. Yes. And the prices are so seductive.
Or free sometimes. If you spin the wheel, your entire cart is free. I'm like, well, okay. If it's free, what do they want from me? Mm. My data.
Well, I've been too scared to purchase anything on Temu because I'm worried about credit card fraud and all that. And you have to get the app.
Remain scared and stay away.
I know. But like, you know, in this economy, I think about a lot of families wanting to shop on Temu. Oh, well, I was going to ask you if you'd had a good experience, but clearly
no,
you haven't gone there.
It's bad. Like, I know. Junk I get it. That you I don't need.
It. I know, but we're all being so heavily targeted by it. And sometimes they have just the thing you're looking for.
I know.
And you can't find it from a credible store.
Don't you hate digital marketing sometimes where you're like, you've been served something so many times that you're finally like, okay, fine, I'll buy it. Just leave me alone.
Out of my ads
I'll buy
algorithm.
The fucking bra. Totally. Leave me alone. Yes. And then the bra arrives and you're like, oh, of course it falls off in like 4 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
I'm talking about those sticky bras. You know the ones that always, okay. Do you get targeted sticky bras?
Oddly not, Revs.
Because you don't go out. Well, that wasn't shade. I was like, lucky you don't have to wear a stick-on bra.
Lucky me, I don't have a social life.
No, you're not a bridesmaid or anything at the moment. Not in your hot girl era going out in backless dresses.
Why are you getting served sticky bras?
Because I'm in my hot girl divorce dress era.
No, I feel like you had that. That was the 12 months after your divorce, babe. We're 3 years down the track.
That ship has sailed.
Sus, babe.
You no longer need a stick-on bra.
You've got a long-term boyfriend. You've been together over a year.
Yep. A year and a half.
Yep. Yeah, your hot girl divorce summer.
Do we feel like that's a long-term boyfriend? A year and a half? It would have felt long term when we were younger, but now I'm like, a year and a half, that's nothing compared to like 10-year marriages, you know?
Hard disagree. I think a year and a half is very committed. You've done every annual milestone together. You've done a Christmas, you've done an Easter. Like, you're a year and a half, babe. So you're going round two. Exactly.
Yeah.
You have been overseas, you have met his family.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking serious, whether you want to believe it or not. I think for you, it feels a little slower and fresh and still full of mystery with your non-combined finances and treating each other to gifts.
Your stick-on bras.
Yeah. Because you haven't combined households.
Yes. Yep.
So there's still that sleepover vibe. Mm. You know, you guys are still in that terrain. Yeah. And that's lovely.
I know, but I just think like, oh, 18 months is a long time. And then I think, but is it? Because I would have used to think 18-month relationships, like, you know, long, as you say. But now it feels...
Well, I think the opposite.
Time is going quickly.
I think the opposite. I reckon an 18-month relationship when you're 22 to, say, 26 doesn't feel long.
Oh.
Yes, because by that stage, there are high school sweethearts who are going on 4, 5, 6 years. Yeah. So 18 months feels fresh.
Okay.
And sometimes I think 18 months is like, is it long enough to like talk about getting married? Yeah. Blah, 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 blah.
What is the magic number, do you reckon? 3 years? 4, 5?
It feels solid. Like 3 years, 3, 4, 5, yes, feels solid. But you're in your late 30s. He's in his mid 40s.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, no, I didn't mean for us. Sorry, I meant like in life. Yes, I was like, when is the right time for me to get married, Gem?
Babe,
please tell me.
I was picking up what you were putting down. I guess what I'm saying is in the era and stage of your lives, 18 months is committed.
Yeah.
Because you guys...
You don't waste each other's time.
Well, yeah, you're both divorced and you guys aren't going to fuck around with something that has no real meaning.
Yeah.
Because you've learned from the past.
Yeah.
You know, you're just moving forwards. Like you say, and you've always said this, you went on a journey of self-discovery, self-love, learning a lot about yourself. Any man that comes into your life has to be a value add, and I'm sure it's the same for him.
Yeah.
So you guys are like dinosaurs to me now in your relationship. Like, I can't remember a time before Americano.
Yeah, that's nice.
Which is lovely, I feel.
Don't you think that there's different types of people? Like, go back to our, like, late 20s, early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the black and white days. People either...
Calm down.
People either got engaged after, like, 1 year.
Me.
Then it was 3 years. There's no one's getting engaged after 2 years. It's either 1, 3, or 5 together.
Okay.
Don't you reckon?
No.
Because I think there's like the, it's been 1 year and it's amazing and we just, when you know, you know, you know, there's that narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the like, well, we've been together 3 years and we're of this age. Like, are we doing this or not?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the people who would got together a little bit too young who weren't thinking about.
And they're coming up 12 years and they're like.
I was going to say 5.
No, I know people where it's like we're coming up to a decade together and it's like,
what are we doing?
What are we doing?
Yeah. How funny.
You know?
I wonder how long marriage is really going to be like a what are we doing here, you know? Mm. Like people are just going to start living their lives, surely, in the next few generations.
Yeah. When I think back to me and Hubs, I mean, we were together 1 year before he proposed.
But you'd known each other your whole lives.
Yes, which makes an enormous difference.
Yeah.
I knew his family intimately. He knew mine. So, of course, it makes sense that everything accelerated.
Mm.
But I do think when you are a bit older, when you know, you know. Like we were just locked in. I want what you want. You want what I want.
Yeah.
What are we doing? Let's just get on with it. And I think lots of people do that.
Yeah.
I think the tricky thing is when you've been together, say even 18, 19. So post school.
Totally.
Maybe uni. You get together at uni.
Because you got together when you weren't even thinking about marriage and kids and all that stuff.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. And then you start getting closer to that decade long period.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, if one's very ready and the other one's got a bit of arrested development and isn't quite ready to
or even
go.
Like it's not exciting because you've been together, like you maybe don't want to break up, but it's not like I've met someone and I'm at that age, you know. It's just like we've been together 10 years, but you know, we met when we were 18 and now we're 28, and like I guess do we just keep going or do we make a fuss about it, you know, all that stuff.
Like I think for you, Rebzia, looking at you and your man, I mean, you guys have managed to prolong the honeymoon period because of the slow burn nature of your relationship based solely on the fact that
you
have kids and you have very separate lives outside of your relationship.
Mm.
And you only get to spend a certain amount of days together a week. And on some occasions, if the schedules flip, it might be a week or 2 weeks before you see each other.
Totally. Yeah. It does definitely prolong the honeymoon period for sure.
I mean, when Hubs is away for work and travel, generally speaking, it can go one of two ways. Distance either makes the heart grow fonder or it makes the heart forget. And for me, it definitely makes the heart grow fonder. Like when he's home, I miss him. Then all it takes is for him to leave a wet towel on my bed and I'm like, babe!
Go away.
For fuck's sake!
Travel. I know. It's nice to miss someone. It's nice.
It is.
Yeah.
And I think that is the challenge with intimacy in marriage is the complete lack of mystery.
Totally.
And then you're trying to conjure it, but you can't. It's all too familiar.
Yeah, you're like, you.
Mm.
The guy who unstacked the dishwasher 5 minutes ago. No, I'm not into that.
Yeah, so the challenge is to keep it spicy, keep it interesting, communicate, have the conversations around sex. And I think often it's fatiguing, like literally in that sense, but also, oh, we're going to have this chat. Like, what are we going to do differently? But you do have to make an effort.
Yeah.
What do you do?
What do I do?
Yeah. Keep it spicy and make an effort.
Keep it spicy.
Do you make an effort? Every now and then we try and shake it up.
Yeah.
You know, because it's natural. Everyone's got their routine, their go-to process. I find this chatting to a lot of friends, people have a favorite position.
I've never heard anyone talk about their sex life as their process,
their go-to
process. You're like an artist, sex artist with a process. Everyone's got their process,
but don't they?
Okay, talk it up.
I think you've forgotten, Revs, because you're not in this.
Do you mean routine?
Sure,
that's different to a process.
Yeah, but no, for me, it's a process.
Okay,
you know, I like to have a shower. I like to, like I've got my thing.
I like to say my prayers and ask God for forgiveness.
Stop it, you.
Sorry.
So, yeah, by just doing something a bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah. Out of the norm. Like out of the routine.
Like what?
I don't know.
I'm going to put the white sheets on tonight.
No. Way too much effort. Who has time for that? Okay. No, it might be like suggesting a new position.
Oh.
You know?
All right.
You know?
I underestimated you.
That's a bit unexpected.
I apologize, bestie. I underestimated you. I thought it was going to be something very vanilla, like, let's walk up the left side of the stairs.
Oh, my God. What, girl? Come on. You know me.
New position. All right.
I don't know. Yeah. For that. Spice it up what a little was the, bit. I'm not, no, I see.
Name a position that you tried recently.
I see what you're doing, Ruth Reeves. I see you.
I know you love a bit of doggy.
Nope.
Woof.
I shan't divulge. Who's to say that's not part of the everyday
routine?
Oh,
that's part of the process. Well,
fuck you.
Anyway. Love it. Well, don't know how we got there.
I know, right? You know what I don't have time for?
What don't you have time for?
Burnout.
Yes.
But I'm doing something about it.
Thank God.
I'm not in a state of burnout yet. But what I'm trying to do, because you give me a lot of shit on the podcast about you say the same thing every year, Jim, and then
nothing
by Christmas.
Nothing changes.
You're falling apart at the seams, frayed at the edges, and you're crying out that you have burnt out. Mm. So I'm trying to mitigate burnout.
I like it.
I'm also going through a bit of an itch. Mm. I'm craving change.
Yep.
And I think I've worked out that when it comes to burnout in my work, because let's be honest, it's often work that is the root of the issue, I say yes to too many things. We already know this about me. So I've been working with a business coach who actually focuses on conscious leadership. Now, conscious leadership sounds like being a boss or a leader. There is a part of that to some degree, but actually it's about leading yourself.
Oh, cool.
Down the path of what it is you want. And it's about realigning and making sure, you know, it's almost like doing an audit on yourself from a business POV, which is something I don't do very often.
No, just keep going until you fall apart.
That's it.
Yes.
And then I have a big old break over Christmas and then I'm like,
and you get amnesia and you go back to the start of the year the same and load your plate up and then you're like, oh no.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited by it because I've been working with someone who, you know, like when you audition therapists, like, it can take time to find the right therapist. And I feel like I've just clicked with someone because you're not always going to match with a business coach. Mm-hmm. It's a very intimate relationship and it's a relationship that's based on a lot of honesty.
Like, could you call them a career advisor, career counselor, career coach as well?
Yes.
Yeah. You don't have to be like a business owner.
No, I guess yes. But I think it's important to, and my business coach said this, that sometimes she has clients who come to her for business coaching and then she's like, honey, you need a therapist.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because you can see how it can tip.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, into that terrain. And I've just really enjoyed unpicking things about myself and things that I wasn't even aware of that she has pulled out of me and kind of shone a light on it. Mm. And I'm like, oh shit. Yeah, that is what I'm doing. I didn't even realize. And she's making me look at values and what I value, you know, whether it's relationships, flexibility, time, money, security, like all those things. And we're just kind of putting it all out there into the open and just making sure everything's aligning.
Cool.
Anyway.
I love an audit, a life audit of any kind.
So what I'm so far taking away from this experience, I don't know why I feel compelled to share this. I don't know.
Because you're in it and it's interesting.
Yeah, it's where I'm at. Yeah. I'm asking a lot of questions.
I think a lot of women, once you've come through young kids and you start to get into that reemergence phase, and maybe you've been back at work for a few years or like as your kids get older and there's more to get, not get from, but you know, there's more to experience with them and you want to be involved in their life and work has to be really fucking worth it, either 100%. Financially or for your soul, to take you away from them. I think, you know, you're in survival for those first 5 years. You've got to make money, not for everyone, but largely people have to make money to pay for a young family or you've just been surviving doing the young kid thing. You go back to work and then I think you settle in and then it's like, what am I really doing here if I'm taking time away from my family or family life? Like, am I contributing in some way? Am I getting anything from this? Is it really worth my time? I think that's a really relatable thing for women in their late 30s, 40s.
Yeah.
Yeah, for any career. You don't have to be a business owner.
Well, what I've learned is there's two types of worker bee personalities. Mm. I think there's a breed of people who approach work by, I'm really good at that thing, so mm-hmm. I'm just going to do that thing mm-hmm. that I happen to be really good at. I've got a girlfriend who is very good at her job. She's not passionate about it. It doesn't light her up. She does feel a sense of achievement. Mm-hmm. The salary's great. So she's like, yeah, it's what I'm good at. Do you know what? My cup gets filled with other things. She's a runner. You know, she loves to travel.
Yeah.
She's got friends. Like, she's got lots of hobbies. Yep. She's one of those really outdoorsy
people. She doesn't go to work to define her no. or fulfill her. But
exactly.
she's well compensated and it pays for her life.
Yes. And so that suits
that
her.
That would be a lot of people.
Would it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Then I am definitely in the minority because work for me has to be cup filling.
Mm-hmm.
I have to be creatively fulfilled. Mm-hmm. I have to feel like I'm using that part of my brain where I am creating something, whether it's from scratch or innovating, mm. or I'm putting things out there that excite me. Mm. Like I have
otherwise
to.
Otherwise, you can't stay focused on it.
I can't. Yeah. I feel like if I'm not being creative, I die, mm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. This all leads to me kind of working out that because I love so many things, you know, it's like people. I love so many people. I feel the same about my work. And because I've had to pivot, adapt, evolve, mm. my creativity has moved in lots of different spaces. Mm. And like even my skills from my acting days, I'm like, oh, yeah, I see how now I'm using this in the education mm. space. And now I'm podcasting and I get to be on stage, blah, 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 blah. I can easily be pulled in lots of directions.
Yeah.
And for many years, I was like, yes, I'm going to pull that thread. Oh, and I'm going to pull that thread. Mm. And I want to do this. And I want, you know, like.
And there's lots of attractive terms for this kind of thing, like I'm a multi-hyphenate or I've got multiple revenue streams,
yes.
all very glossy terms for really what is like mm. I'm doing a lot of things
yes.
in a lot of different directions. I got a lot of fingers in a lot of pies, mm-hmm. which can be fine unless there's a tipping point, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm at that tipping point
yeah.
place. And actually, if I'm really honest, our podcast is continuing to grow in directions that we could have only dreamt mm. of, and it's calling for more of my attention.
Mm.
But I'm straddling lots of work worlds,
mm.
and, you know, I can't put all my attention in the places that I want because I've got these other things that...
Commitments,
yeah. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And I'm, you know, my business coach has been really amazing because she's been helping me reframe a lot of things. Like she's been sort of saying, hey, have you ever actually stopped and reflected on how amazing that is? Mm. Like instead of being fearful of it
yeah.
or worried or confused or scared, like let's just look at the positive.
Mm.
And I guess what I'm trying to figure out at the moment is where do I want my energy to flow to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because at the moment, it's spread thinly.
Mm. This would be really awkward if this is how you told me you didn't want to do the podcast anymore.
Well, the truth is, Revzy, like I fucking love this job.
I know.
You know? And when I'm away from it, I'm sad.
Yeah.
And when I'm in it, I want more of it.
Yeah.
But all my other work-related things are great.
Mm.
You know?
Yes.
That's the challenge.
It's not like, oh, I hate that job. I can't yes. wait till I can flick that and just do the podcast full
yes.
time. Yeah, yeah.
I imagine it's like people who go through a breakup when there's no fighting
mm.
or there's no animosity,
mm.
but it's just a...
Just run its course.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's hard, right? Because, okay, so there's that layer
mm.
to it, but then there's a second layer. Like, but what if something is running along financially well
yeah.
and yep. contributes massively to your family?
Yes. Yep.
There's that pressure of mm-hmm. like, well, then I should continue following that lead.
Yeah.
It would be irresponsible of
yes.
me not to.
I was actually having this conversation last night with a girlfriend because we were talking about she's got a friend whose husband has quit his job to start a new business.
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, that is very bold mm-hmm. at this age and stage when you've got kids, when you've got responsibilities, mortgages in this economy. Like
yeah.
it was like, that is a massive swing. Like, I don't know if I'd be all right with it. Do you know what I mean? To like, it's start a side hustle, all the go for it. Like,
yeah.
do all the things you want to do, make it work. But to quit a secure job
yeah.
is a big deal at this age and stage of life in this economy.
Yes.
Huge.
And I hard agree about the side hustle because mm. it's so funny because I've taught this before in the hatchery. And I feel silly because I'm struggling to apply.
Take it. Your own advice.
Yeah. And mm-hmm. I can't apply it to myself. But, you know, we always say to people, like, you'll know when to leap into the side hustle. You'll know when to quit your job because the revenue stream through the side hustle becomes consistent, and then you can see trends in your forecasting of your finances. Mm. You know, it gathers momentum.
But there's always that last leap if you're going to make a big change, any change, moving countries, moving cities, moving house, selling your house, moving jobs, changing relationships, all these things. There's that thing you can't teach, you can't get data on, you can't qualify, you can't guarantee. There's always that final moment that takes faith
and bravery
that you've just got to go, okay, I'm putting my eggs in this basket and if it doesn't work out, I'll sort it out. And if it does, yay me, you know, but there's always that unquantifiable final bit.
Yeah. So if you look at our podcast as what was
a side hustle,
like, it's wild to me how much has changed in the last year for the positive.
Yeah. It's awesome.
You know, for our community, for us to be able to show up in the way that we want to. Like, it's wonderful.
Yeah. But it pulls you in a lot of different directions.
It does. Yeah. And I'm finding it really hard.
And I was lucky. I didn't have to make that brave leap because I got made redundant. It was done for me. The universe was like, boom, we're making this decision for you, girlfriend.
Wasn't that a gift?
Yeah, because I never would have done it. Yes. No way.
Using the relationship analogy, it's like when you're in a toxic relationship or when someone cheats on you and it's like really obvious.
Yeah.
The problem is my other work-related things, other businesses, we're amicable.
Yeah.
It's humming along beautifully. Yeah. It's consistent as hell.
Yes.
Like how do you hang your hat on that?
It's hard.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And then add to that a partner who's like, well, it's working.
Yeah.
But I'm like, but it's not because I'm burning out at the end of the year.
Yes.
You know, I try and explain, like, everything's been adding on. Nothing's taken away. And I guess I'm working with my beautiful business coach to work out where to trim the fat, how to trim the fat. Now, that sounds really basic and top line. She's going deep.
Yeah.
She's going deep on values. What really matters to me? What am I scared of? What's keeping me up at night? And just really tuning into my gut, because so many people stop listening to their gut.
Yes, because of all those aforementioned responsibilities.
Yes. Yeah. It's a tricky one.
It's so tricky.
And I love what you said, Revs, about like this season of life. Like, you know, I talked about this emerging from the weeds of the early years of parenting. I've done that. It's reflective in how I enjoy fashion again. You know, like there was a time where I was like, oh, fuck fashion.
Yeah.
And then I was like, no, I had fun with that in my early years of life. I want to reclaim that for myself. I love clothes. I love how they make you feel. I love how creative
you're
can be.
You're done with the hustle. Not the hustle as in not working hard. You're done with like grinding just to get project to project.
Yes.
Yeah. Because it's really taking its toll.
It is. Yeah. And I'm craving space, quiet space for creativity, which sounds a bit insane because we're very creative here on the podcast, but there is a hustle in the creativity. There's hard deadlines and there's gun to the head kind of creativity, but I'm like, what could happen again if I have more space in my calendar to breathe, to think, I'm going to sound fucking woo-woo, but to just call in those fresh ideas.
And magic shit happens when you make space for it. Yeah. It does. I really believe that. It's also like life. You've got to factor life in. When you've got primary school age kids particularly, like as we've always talked about, you can line up your house of cards. You can stack it right up, but then one little thing goes wrong and unplanned, and you can almost plan for the unplanned with young kids, like school age kids. Someone gets sick, someone's got to go away for work, the au pair goes down, like whatever, life, you know? And if you've rammed your schedule and your life and your work life particularly full of commitments, nothing can fall over or the whole thing topples.
Yeah.
That's what I count this now as my biggest privilege doing this job with flexibility, is that if my kid's sick, if my shower leaks through to the apartment below, I can handle, it doesn't completely fall apart. Like my week doesn't fall apart. I can handle it because I have that little bit of give, you know, and it's for your mental health. It's like absolutely massive. It's like my biggest privilege at the moment is that flexibility. Yeah. It's crazy. Cause when I was doing my full-time job and this was my side hustle, like I've never been more stressed and anxious. Like there's just, and then you're trying to run your life. Like
on top of it
all. And you know who misses out is your fucking kids, your partner, like your friendships, all of that just gets absolutely put to the back burner. Yeah. So there's so many positives for just giving that little bit of give. But it's hard, babe. You've built a lot.
Yeah. And I have loved it. And I thrived in it for a time, but now I'm like, something's got to give.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to figure that out. I want to streamline. I want ease. I want a bit more simplicity in my life.
Are there any like banger takeaways you can share with the DLs that would apply to like if they're having this kind of should I go, should I stay career stuff? If they're lying awake at 3 a.m. themselves and they're like, anything that's really cut through?
Well, I think like Amelia, who I've been working with, like she would say, you actually know the answer. It's just about peeling back the layers and actually looking at it head on.
Being honest with yourself.
Being honest, but then removing the fear.
Oh, because, hard to do.
Yes, because we bury it, the truth that we actually always know in our core, because we don't want to deal with it. And I've reached a point where I'm ready to deal with it, but I'm fucking terrified.
Yeah.
And I'm confused and I'm not sure what the next step is. And one thing I know for sure is a big step I want to take in the direction of is the podcast.
Yeah.
I know that for sure.
The DL's like,
but it's just everything else, you know? And,
totally.
And it's hard for me to speak about on here because I'm very protective.
Yeah.
You do feel a degree of I've got to keep up appearances, you know?
Like,
well, you don't want to impact.
So exhausting.
I know.
So but hard like, to keep that going.
And when you love so many things, it's hard, but then you've got to really be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
Like, where do you want to put your time and energy?
I actually heard Glennon Doyle talk about this. Not so long ago, she's like, someone else had given her that insight. Like, all the pain in our lives is in between making decisions.
Yeah.
We know.
Yes.
We always know what we want to do. We always really do know. We, you know, when someone goes, I just don't know. I'm so torn because, like, usually you do know the truth of it. But that means acting on something, putting things in place, making choices, letting people down or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's all too hard. So you kind of pretend that there's a real tussle and struggle, and that's where all the pain is. The minute you actually decide, no, I know. I've listened to myself and I know what I have to do.
All that clutter and noise.
All of that noise goes away.
It just disappears.
All the, like we always say, the pain is in the thinking about it much more than the doing of it.
Yeah.
It's so true. That decision-makey place is so challenging and stressful, but you're right. Like she's right and Glennon is always right. You know, we do this dance with ourselves because we don't, I don't know, I think women do it way more than men as well. We feel like we can't be sure about ourself or our decision. So we have to do this like, oh, I don't know, maybe this, maybe that, maybe this, maybe that. But yeah, it's like getting to that quiet place where you can really hear your truth.
And I really miss the days where you were solely responsible for yourself. I mean, I don't want to do life without my children.
No.
I absolutely wouldn't change that.
Yeah.
But it does change your decision making.
It does. Because and it should.
Yeah.
And it should, you know.
But it just makes it that much harder.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to muster or call in bravery to take a leap in the direction that maybe isn't the best financial decision, but long term, I feel in my gut will be the right decision for my heart, soul, body, mind, all of that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's hard to quantify the value of that.
I'm really proud of you and I'm just going to have a gush session and you're just going to have to sit there and take it. And I think the DLs will agree. I'm proud of you for even thinking about making some kind of change because we've all been here with you over the last 3 years as you kind of cyclically get to that place of being way too stacked with responsibilities, with deadlines, with stuff that you're not coping with. And even just dedicating this work time to work with a coach to try and get on top of that and unpick it and work out. I'm proud of you because a lot of people would just keep going for another couple of years, you know, and just find themselves back in the same position. So I'm proud of you.
Thanks, babe. You know, it's hard to show up to the sessions sometimes because it's like going to therapy.
Totally.
You're like, oh, I don't want to open the box today. And then you always feel infinitely better after. And the best thing about Amelia is she makes you discover the clarity on your own because she's never going to tell you what to do. You know, the thing that you want to do is go,
what should I do?
Just tell me and I'll do it.
The decision isn't mine.
Yes. But she talks to you in such a way that you get so fucking deep, you peel away the layers and then the clarity rises to the surface till you're like, oh, wow, the answer's just there, isn't it? And she's like, yeah, and you can just pick it up and take it.
Yeah, cool.
You can action it. The other funny thing that she's been helping me with, which seems so trivial in comparison to the big questions, is I've been tackling with her, and this is cool because it's not business related, but it's routine related, which is something that she works on as well. Sorry, it sounds like I'm doing like a big shout out on her. But you know how I've been consistent with Pilates?
Mm-hmm.
I owe that to her.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Because she's worked out with me and my brain what I need to keep the commitment.
Which is what?
Gamify. Yes.
Okay.
She said, because I've never committed to any form of exercise for more than 3 months, because that is my cycle, I need to gamify going to Pilates by myself as data research.
Okay.
Yes. All right. And it's a game. So she's like, we need to get past the 3 month mark because you need to get little bits of data on yourself.
Okay.
And what makes you stop. So we've got to cross that threshold and keep going until it becomes habit forming.
Okay.
And we've cracked the habit forming part of things.
She sounds like a freaking life coach, this one.
Yeah, she's really cool. I kind of want to be friends with her.
Oh,
she's one of those people, you know?
Yeah, I love a good expert.
Anyway.
It's the daddy issues in us.
So true.
Tell me I'm good.
Yes.
Tell me I'm doing it right. Can you chuck her details in the show notes if anyone wants to work with her?
I can.
Yeah.
I'm hesitant though because I don't want her to
book out.
No, I don't want her to book out.
You can't gatekeep her.
I can't.
Share her with the deals.
Very selfish. Yes, I will leave her details in the show notes. But let's move on to hit me with your not spot.
I've got a great one.
Go on then.
It ain't cheap, but it's just one of those, yeah, I need that. You know?
I feel like that's you all over, babe.
That is me all over. Yeah. Can I get a coach for that?
Yes.
No, it's very cool. It's called The Foldy.
Cute. Is this something that got served up in ads to you?
Maybe.
It's got that vibe.
Okay. Based on what?
I don't know. Yes, the name, okay. Actually.
It's a travel bag, but it is foldable down to the size of a very small toiletries pouch.
Okay.
You open it up and you have a big over-the-shoulder duffel bag to put all your stuff
in. Okay, I'm glad you said duffel bag. I was worried you were going to say tote.
No. Duffel bag size.
Yeah, cool.
It fits heaps of stuff. Look, maybe we all aren't traveling as much as we used to, but for mum life, having another bag in your bag is invaluable. How many times do you go over to your mum's? She's like, oh, I've got thingy left her shoes here. I've got the jumper.
Totally.
And you've left this bowl here. And I always leave my mum with my arms full of like my entire contents of my apartment. Anyone else? Or like when you go to the groceries or you like whatever.
So do you bag it within your bag?
Yeah, it's like in a little pouch, like little like pencil case size pouch, but you unfold it and they're really cute looking.
Yeah, I was going to say, great. I want to know styles, colours.
It's like a nylon bag with like cloth. It's not cloth.
You're not selling it,
okay,
babe.
It's just really nice. Go look it up. Thefoldy.com, and it's on Instagram or whatever. They've got really good colours. If you're going travelling with kids, like absolute must.
Okay, talk about price point because you said
$140-ish dollars, I think, for their classic bag.
Yeah.
It's also got a waterproof pouch in it.
Oh, handy.
So like travelling with, when you've got wet cozzies and that, swimming.
Nice.
Like to swimming.
Yeah.
Oh,
very helpful.
Stop. Anyway, just one of those, yes, I will use the shit out of this.
Great.
Bags.
Not spawn, babe.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
Hit me with your not spawn.
Have I got a not spawn for you?
This what
is quite
it?
A handy one.
Yep.
Being a photographer, I.
For now.
Cute.
I'm joking.
Oh, Revs. See, it hurts my heart.
I know. You'll always be a shutterbug.
Yeah. Anyway, being a shutterbug, one of the most commonly asked questions that I get is, where do you get your photos printed?
Now,
I really need to say this.
Yep.
Please don't get your photos printed at Officeworks.
No.
For some reason, people love going to Officeworks.
No, they're not photo printers.
They are not.
You can just do it straight away and people aren't prepared, you know?
Yeah, it's just, no, just don't do it. Okay, just don't do it.
Don't do it.
Go to photoking.com.au, I believe. Photo King. So Photo King is like a pro lab.
Oh, cool.
But for really reasonable prices.
Ooh.
It's really, the website is very intuitive.
Great.
It's easy to navigate. The qual is so good for the price.
Okay.
You know, I've got some really, really fancy print labs, but it hurts the bank account, you know. But Photo King is qual.
Itty.
For affordable prices.
Okay, great.
Check them out.
Photo
That's all
King.
I have to say about that.
And do they post it to you or do you go pick it up?
Yeah, they post it
to
you.
They got stores?
Nope, it's an online store.
Okay.
And then they deliver it to you.
Love it.
They're pretty quick.
Yeah. How many days are we talking? Because you know when you know you need a photo, it's often like quite urgent.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I reckon 5 days.
Ooh. Is that long?
Well, I think anything 5 days is long. But no, that's okay. Good to know.
Can I just say, if you're going to get photos printed for your fridge, which I know some people like to do, choose the white border option.
Yeah,
it always looks really nice.
Yes, it does. It's like a little frame.
It is like a mini frame.
Love that. Well, now you've come to us for all your aesthetic, career and giggle choices today. It's time to wrap this episode up. Thank you for being here with us, DLs. We have a very fucking fun watch party coming out in 2 days' time.
Oh, I'm so excited, DLs. It's not too late for you to catch up. Honestly, no. I consumed this. I binged it the night before that we recorded the episode. We are going to be breaking down J-Lo's new documentary.
And film. And feature film.
Correct. Yeah, feature film.
The film
folks.
Is called This Is Me. Now, the documentary is called The Greatest Love Story Never Told. They don't sound like they go together, but they totally do. They're on Amazon. Watch the documentary first, then the film, and come join us for a deep dive on everything J-Lo 2024 masterpiece.
And in case you're freaking out going, a film and a doco, the film is 54 minutes.
Yeah.
The doco is 1 hour and 20.
And you'll enjoy every minute of it. It's not a hard watch. It's a very easy, fun watch. Watch it with your husband. Watch it with the girlfriend. Watch it with your...
No, don't watch it with your husband.
No.
Your husband will think you're cooked. Don't watch it with your husband. Watch it in the privacy of your own time and strap yourselves in, DLs, because
it's quite a ride.
You are in for a ride, and you better believe that we got a lot of feelings.
Anyway, come join us. If you're not a subscriber, there's links everywhere. There's links in the show notes, links on our Instagram. You can just subscribe wherever you want. Spotify, Apple, it's all there for you. We have a backlog of extra episodes, and we are now doing these really, really fun watch parties that the DLs are loving.
It's like a book club, but the shows.
Yeah, book club for non-readers.
That's me.
See you then, or we'll be back in your ears on Friday morning with the Bestie Hotline.
Bye-bye.
Bye.